Hello, friend. You are listening to the Gateway Tipton podcast. In today's episode, Steve starts the Christmas series over at the Atoka campus. So let's get started. Hey, everyone. This is Kelly. If it's your first time listening, then welcome and thanks for tuning in. We publish new episodes every week for those that missed a message, want to hear it again, or maybe even share it with a friend. For show notes and more information about Gateway, visit gatewaytipton.com. Now, let's get to the message.
Bow with me in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and, Lord, to sing your praises, sing to you and about you. And Father, today I pray now that you'd open our hearts and open our minds to your word. And Lord, that indeed we would come today to a greater understanding of Christmas maybe than we've ever had before. And Lord, that as we leave today, we would just leave challenged, we'd leave encouraged. And Father, I thank you today for every person that's in this place. Thank you for bringing them here this morning. Lord, I pray that they would be blessed today by being in your presence and by being with each other. So Father, we give this time to you. It is yours. Do with it in our lives what you want to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to give you a little bit of a report on Christmas with dignity. So many of you over the last several weeks have been bringing gifts to go over to Christmas with Dignity store. And the store actually took place yesterday. And I want to report to you that we joyfully served 50 plus families and well over 100 children through Christmas with Dignity. So that's awesome. And we were able to partner together with several other churches in our area, which was an incredible blessing being able to work with them. And probably the greatest thing was being able to build some relationships with some folks in that community and actually have the store in the location of our third campus, which will take place in 2018 in Covington. So really excited about that. And thank you. Thank you so much for all that you did to contribute to that and to make that happen. So would you agree with me if I said that Christmas has become enormous? The Christmas season, just Black Friday in and of itself has become a holiday, hasn't it? How many of you would be honest enough to admit that you participated in Black Friday? All right, a lot of you guys are lying this morning and not telling the truth about being a part of Black Friday. But it has become such an event. I tell you what, I ran across some stories from people who are working in the stores on Black Friday, all right? So just listen. This person worked at Radio Shack. One year during Black Friday, one of the sale items was a $10 calculator that had been marked down to $5. Two sweet little old ladies came in the store looking for them. When I told them there was only one left, it was game on. It turned into a geriatric version of roller derby without the skates. The one grandma who lost the race called the other one an obscene name as the winner stood in the checkout line gripping her $5 prize. I always imagined some little kid opening presents on Christmas morning and getting this $5 calculator that he didn't really want and having no clue about the backstory behind it, as his grandma, sipping her tea, looks on with a triumphant gleam in her eye. Here's another one. I saw a lady quickly stuff a pillow up her shirt and pretend that she was going into labor. Apparently, while she pretended, she sent someone else to fetch the hot ticket items. It got awkward when the paramedics arrived. You can imagine. Here's another one. My friend slipped while running into a store on Black Friday. And our other friend shouted, "Leave him behind, it's too late." And then this one. You know Black Friday is bad when your own mother snatches a discounted blender from your hands before recognizing that it is her one and only son. So some of you participated in that madness, and it has certainly become a huge event. Now, Cyber Monday is a big thing. People sit in front of their computers and order all kinds of presents. We have tree lightings. We have Santa driving through the neighborhood. Yard decorations that rival Clark Griswold. Party after party. Hallmark movies. No, we're not. We're not. I tell you what, last night we attended a Christmas party that one of our Sunday school classes had, and two of the biggest, baddest men in this church admitted to watching Hallmark movies and crying with their wives. And my opinion of those guys is done, gone, over. But it's become so big, right? Christmas has just become huge in so many ways. We have all the gifts and all of those things. And I'm going to say to you today that I think that Christmas, now listen, is not nearly big enough. And I think what happens is we become disconnected from the real importance of Christmas. And I think it's really bigger than what we have ever dreamed. It's even more than a quaint story about a little baby that was born. And certainly it is deeper than the glitz and the glitter that the world wants to shed on it. And I hope today what we can do is shed a little bit of light on why Christmas ought to be even bigger. I know we have a lot of military families in our church, and so you probably know this, others probably do as well, but if you've ever been out of town for a long period of time and you've returned home to your family, or maybe you've come back at the airport, flown in, and somebody was waiting there on your arrival, and they haven't seen you in a long time, and maybe the children are there, and what happens when you appear coming down the corridor, right? Well, those kids, they'll rush past the red terrorist line and everything else, right, to greet you. And there's this big open-armed embrace because you're back. And that is certainly the way to arrive home. And I thought about that, and I wonder why we don't feel the same way when we celebrate the arrival of Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't think about how significant it really was and how significant it is even today. You know, when Jesus arrived, there were only a precious few that embraced him that way. Most of them are like us. They had become so used to things, the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, they had heard it over and over again, and they had gotten it so twisted and confused that when he did finally come, they didn't recognize him. They didn't embrace him. They didn't run to him. And I hope that today we can kind of reframe Christmas into its proper context so that we can see it rightly, so that this Christmas we will be able in our hearts to run to him at the celebration of his arrival, because it really is so much bigger than just a little baby had a birthday. Well, we have a quaint story that we talk about every year. So this morning we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8 and chapter 9. This book, the book of Isaiah, was written long before the birth of Jesus Christ. And yet here in Isaiah, we're going to find that there is a prophecy about the coming of Jesus. There's a prophecy here about Christmas. And we're going to see why it is so important to us today. Now, let me give you some background to this passage before we jump into it. At this particular time, the nation of Israel, the people of God, were divided into two kingdoms. You had a northern kingdom, which was called Israel. You had a southern kingdom, which was called Judah. Now, if you've ever wanted to actually use the map sections in your Bible, if you'll look at the map section of your Bible, there's definitely one called the divided kingdom. And you'll see what I'm talking about. We'll put it on the screen for you so that you can see two parts of the kingdom, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. And let me introduce some characters for you. There's a character named Pekah, and Pekah is the king of the northern kingdom, which was called Israel. Now, he had set up an alliance with the Syrians to the north, and they were threatening to take over the southern kingdom, Judah. And the king of the southern kingdom, his name is Ahaz. And Ahaz obviously does not want to be conquered. And so what he does is he contemplates the idea of creating an alliance with Assyria to the south in order to protect himself. So you see what's going on here? Northern Kingdom has an alliance with Syria. Southern Kingdom, Ahaz, he's thinking about setting up an alliance so that he does not get conquered. And so what you have here is really kind of a powder keg waiting to happen. You have on the edge of a political and military conflict, really a nightmare, an all-out war between God's people. And so this is not a good situation. And so into the situation enters Isaiah. Isaiah is God's prophet. He speaks for God. And so he comes into this story to speak specifically God's word to Ahaz, the king of the southern kingdom. Now, in our message today, just keep this in mind as we move through, Ahaz represents us. And you see, Ahaz, instead of trusting God, he begins to trust in himself. He begins to trust in his own wisdom. He begins to trust in other nations instead of trusting in God. He had no humble dependence on God. And Ahaz represents us because we can be that way too, right? There is a part of us that wants to live independently from God. There's a part of us that wants to do things our own way. When God wants to be our leader, he wants to be our defender, and yet we can push him away, we can stiff-arm God and tell him that we want to do things our own way. And so as we go through this, Ahaz is going to represent you and he's going to represent me. So Isaiah is going to warn Ahaz not to make this partnership with this other nation. He's going to say, don't do this, don't go down this road. In fact, Isaiah gets so strong with Ahaz that he says, Ahaz, God is willing to give you any sign. You can just pick any sign that you would like. God will give you to let you know that this is what you need to do, that you don't need to do this partnership with Syria. That's how far God was willing to go to keep this mess from happening. Ahaz could have picked anything. He could have said, okay, God, if this is really you, if this is really what you want me to do, then black out the sun. God would have done it. God, if this is really what you want me to do, if you don't want me to go down this road, I tell you what, then just write my name in the sky. And God would have done it. But Ahaz here refuses the sign. He won't even look for a sign. Well, why does he do this? Because Ahaz has become so impressed with himself, so impressed with his own self-reliance, his own wisdom and decision-making that he doesn't need who? Doesn't need God. He's no longer trusting in God at all. He won't even take the offer of the sign. Now again, who does Ahaz represent in our story? Us. Because we would never be like that, right? We would never want to do things our own way. Well, the Christmas prophecy that we're going to look at today is in response to Ahaz's resistance to God. It's not just a prophecy for Ahaz. It's not just a prophecy for the people of the day, but it is also a prophecy to us, to anyone that would seek to run their own lives and do things their own way. And so it's important because this prophecy is indeed about the arriving Jesus. And we're going to talk about that as we move along. And we're going to see language in this prophecy that is directly related to Christmas. And it has everything to do with us being a whole lot like Ahaz. Now, there are several ways that we are like Ahaz. And in the end, we're going to find that these are the reasons indeed that Jesus came. Now, we are like Ahaz, first of all, in our arrogance. In our arrogance. Ahaz believed that he could do this on his own. That his experience and his own logic, that he could handle it. And he rejects the word of God through Isaiah based on his own arrogance and stubbornness. Now again, who does Ahaz represent? Okay, we're never arrogant and we're never stubborn, right? Ahaz represents us. Now, I want you to look at the words of Isaiah with me. Isaiah chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Isaiah 8, starting in verse 11. It says, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, 'Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him shall you hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem.'" Now skip down to verse 19. "And when they say to you, 'Seek those who are mediums and wizards, who worship and whisper and mutter,' should not a people seek their God?" So he is saying to them, don't trust, Isaiah, in what you hear. Don't fall in the trap of handling these situations like everyone else. Just because someone else says this is a conspiracy, or just because someone else says, Isaiah, you need to fear and you need to dread, he's saying to him, don't fall for the drama, right, of the people around you. And then he says to him, Isaiah, Ahaz, who you should really fear is God and the results of not listening to him. You see, Ahaz was convinced that since the north had made an alliance with another country, that what did he need to do? Well, he needed to do the same thing. He needed to take care of things. He needed to fight back. And in doing these things, it is clear that he was departing from the trust of God in doing so. So I want to ask you a quick question this morning. What are you facing today? What is your difficulty? What is your struggle? And you are operating purely out of your own logic, your own opinions, your own experience to deal with that thing rather than trusting the Lord. What is it going on in your life right now that you are struggling with, that instead of relying on God, you're relying on your own wisdom? What is it that's happening in your life right now that you're trying to deal with? Now listen, and you haven't even prayed about it. You haven't even asked God what He wants you to do. What is it that you are afraid will happen if you don't act, and yet you don't even know what the Lord wants you to do? And here God tells Ahaz, what you should really be afraid of is doing something that I haven't told you to do. Ahaz, what you ought to be afraid of is acting without me. And I think if Isaiah could have, he would have said to Ahaz, why are you so worried about the circumstances all around you when God can control the circumstances around you? And what God wanted Ahaz to do was to trust him and not himself. Now we live in a world today, do we not, that is full of self-reliance. I can do it. I can handle it. I know what to do. I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. I'm experienced enough. It's one of the reasons I think in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, when the writer of Romans, when Paul says, do not be conformed to the thinking of this world, right? But be transformed, because we live in a world that says, I got it, I can do it. And we're going to get there later, but the promise of the Messiah was ultimately a promise to turn over the idea of our self-reliance and to help us see that we can't do it on our own, that we do need a Savior, that we can't handle our arrogance, but He can. There's something else that we have in common with Ahaz, and that is our desire for control. Our desire for control, or our freedom to do what He wanted to do. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 14 and 15 in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. It says, He, speaking of God here, He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many of them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Now I want you to skip down now to verse 19. Again, I mentioned this earlier, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter. Should not a people seek their what? Seek their God. Should not a people seek their God? Now, we're going to, as I said, we have in common with Ahaz a desire for freedom to do what we want. Ahaz did not want to be told what to do. Now, again, who does Ahaz represent here? Us. We don't like to be told what to do, do we? And the idea here is that if we can have our freedom, then we can be happy. If we can do what we want to do, then that's what we want. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Now, I'm going to come back to that in a second. Keep verse 20 in mind. Now, I want you to think for a moment about a teenager. Some of you have teenagers. Who's ready to have the... What age do kids start asking for cell phones now? Like six? Seven? I want you to imagine a child or a teenager that wants the freedom of having a cell phone to be able to call who they want to call, do what they want to do, look at what they want to look at, okay? Just think about that for a second. They want that freedom until you present them with the bill, right? For the cell phone. The consequences of having that phone or having that freedom, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, hold on a second, I wasn't counting on that. And yet, do we not at times treat God that way? God, I want freedom to do what I want to do. And God, I don't really want you to tell me how to live my life. And I don't really want to hear all of the morality stuff. I really simply want my freedom until God hands us the consequences or the results of doing things our own way. And then we're like, what? Whoa, now hold on a minute. I didn't want that to come with it. And understand here, Isaiah is warning Ahaz about this. And the message to Ahaz is here, Ahaz, God will be one of two things in your life. This is verse 14, okay? He will be a rock that makes you stumble, or he will be a sanctuary that you can run to. He will either be a place of refuge and strength for you, or you will hate the fact that he's in your life and messes up your freedom to do what you want to do. Now again, Ahaz represents who? That's right. Because that's exactly the way we are sometimes. Let me just say something to you, just really simple and really honestly today, just as humbly as I know how, okay? Living for Jesus gets in the way of what our flesh wants to do, right? Living for Jesus gets in the way of what our flesh wants to do. And that's why the term Lord is so important. See, Jesus came not simply to be your Savior, but to be your what? To be your Lord. In fact, you know, we don't even get to choose between those two because he only comes into our lives as Lord. And that's why we have to deal with the fact that one of our greatest problems, just like Ahaz, is our desire for freedom and control. I want to have it my way. I want to do it my way. And the truth of the matter is a relationship with Jesus threatens that. And there are so many people that have a problem with Jesus because they don't really want a Lord. That's what he is. That's who he is. In verse 20, Isaiah clearly tells us that there is a script to live our lives by. If you look again at verse 20, I read it too quick a moment ago. If you want to go back and look at verse 20 again, look at what he says. Chapter 8, verse 20. He says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." For Ahaz, the script that he could go by, it says here, was the law and the testimony of God through his prophets. Now for us, it's the whole of God's word. And he says here that if this is not what is guiding you and your life and your decisions, he says, then you have no light. He says, if this isn't what is guiding you, then you are walking in the dark. The words literally mean they're driven into darkness. And there are so many of us, you guys, that try to live our lives exactly that way. We try to live our lives by our own script. We try to live our lives in our own way instead of the way that God has showed us how we ought to live our lives. And sometimes we look up and we wonder why we can't figure our lives out, and it is because we are living by the wrong script. When the answer is always, according to Isaiah here, to the law, or to the testimony of God. And guys, in Ahaz's day, he could go back to the law. What was the law? What did he have? He had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, didn't he? And he could go back to that, and he could look, and he could see how God had always been faithful. How God had been the one to rescue them. How he had protected them. How he had defended them. How he was the one that he ought to be looking to. Ahaz had a script to go by, didn't he? But he chose not to go by it. You know, for us, we need to go back and review God's faithfulness too. To go back, don't we, to the testimony of God in His Word. So that when we look at that, we see that the light comes on and we can see the truth of God. And sometimes the reason today that you feel lost in your life is because you are lost. Because so often what we do in our lives is we do things our way and we stiff-arm the Word of God, or we stiff-arm the testimony of God, and we say to Him, maybe not audibly, you guys, but we say, God, I've got it. I can figure this out. I know what to do, and I'll do what I want, because what we know is that if we embrace His script, that it means we have to change. And if we embrace His script, it means the way we live has to change, because, guys, what we really do have in Him is a Lord. We have a Lord. Now, that leads to the third thing that we have in common with Ahaz, and it's this. We do face suffering. We do face suffering. Look at verses 21 and 22. Again, chapter 8, 21 and 22. He says, they will pass through it, hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and curse their God and look upward. And they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. So one of the things that we have in common with Ahaz and these folks is that when we reject God, we suffer for it. Our own choices, our autonomy, our choice to do things our way begins to backfire and life begins to unravel, and it's difficult and it's hard. I want you to look at the adjectives that he uses for these folks. Hard-pressed, hungry, enraged, trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish. And so as Ahaz is contemplating going down the wrong road here, Isaiah is trying to tell him, man, if you do this, you can expect life to fall apart. You can expect things to go bad if you choose to do the opposite of what I tell you to do. And you know what? When we go down that road, sometimes life falls apart. And we shake our fist at God and we blame Him for our suffering. It says here, they curse their king and their God and they look up at Him. Well, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you do this? I can't tell you guys how many times that families have come into my office and said, Brother Steve, this is going wrong, and 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 why in the world is God bringing this on us? And we're so angry with God because of what He's done, when so many times the unraveling of our life is not because God has done something to us, it's because of choices that we have made. And Isaiah's trying to get Ahaz to see here, man, if you go down this road, it's not going to be good. Look at what's going to happen if you go down this road. I want to ask you today, again, in all humility, in your life today, is there something that's happening in your life that's troubling, that's difficult, that's hard, and you are shaking your fist at God and you are so angry, but if you were honest, it's because of a choice that you have made. Is that where you are today? I want to balance this a little bit. I know that's heavy. Sometimes distress and trouble do come into our lives because of our choices, right? We all know that. Sometimes that happens. But that's not the only reason that difficulty comes into our lives. It is for Ahaz, but in this story, there is another group of people that are suffering because of choices that Ahaz made, and that's the people that were around him, right? The people in the nation were suffering because of the choices of a bad king, something that was completely out of their control. And that's true sometimes for us as well. We suffer because of the choices of other people. And some of you guys, you don't really look forward to Christmas for this reason. Because Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy and a time of happiness and a time of celebration, but there is something that's happened in your life because of the choices of someone else, and all you can see in your life is gloom and doom and difficulty, and it's not because of anything that you did. And maybe that's where you are, and we're going to get there, okay, but listen close right here. This prophecy that we're going to look at in a minute is for everyone who stands in darkness and in gloom and distress, whether you brought it on yourself or not. And it is going to be a reminder to us that God cares no matter where you are. Now, I want you to watch where this goes, okay? The final thing that we have in common with Ahaz is this, that we need a Lord. That we need a Lord. Now, if you look at chapter 9, okay? Man, thank goodness chapter 9 is here. I'm depressed. I don't know about y'all. I'm depressed after all that. And just a little clue about studying the Bible, okay? When you see a lot of tough stuff and a lot of hard things and a lot of struggling and a lot of suffering, always, always start looking for hope because it is always there. And here it comes in one word. In chapter 9 and verse 1, what's the first word of chapter 9? Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Now look at Isaiah 9, 6. Skip down a few verses. Here's the prophecy, okay? In the middle of all this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now that sounds like Christmas all of a sudden, doesn't it? In light of all of this junk, in light of all of the bad decisions, in light of our quest for control and freedom, in the light of the fact that Ahaz and everybody since him has stiff-armed God as a result of it resulting in all kinds of suffering, whether we caused it or not, in light of all of that, God says, nevertheless. So when does gloom and doom start to go away? When does that begin to be a light behind it? Well, it says here that it has something to do with the birth of a child. He says, a child is born, a son is given, and there came a point in time when enough was enough, and God sent his son. And it is as if he is saying to Ahaz, Ahaz, you don't want a sign that I've got it all under control, my friend, but there is a sign coming. There's a baby that's going to be born one day, and in him, it's all going to be handled, and it's all going to be okay. Now, I want to ask you this. Are you starting to see a bigger Christmas? Is so much bigger because this is what it's about. See, Christmas is a sign that God does not hate you because you messed your life up. Christmas is a sign that the fact that bad things have happened to you doesn't mean that God doesn't like you. God doesn't hate you if you struggle. God doesn't hate you in your sin. God doesn't hate you if you are an abuser or if you have been abused. He doesn't hate you because of your sin and struggle. He's saying to us in Christmas, in the light of your struggle, nevertheless, there is coming a time of no more gloom and no more distress. He will fix it all. He will forgive it all. He will right every wrong and even the score. And the prophecy simply says that all of that begins with the birth of a child, Ahaz, that is on his way. That's your sign, King. And I would say that's your sign, church. It's a bigger Christmas. He says the government will be on his shoulders. When he comes, he will bring real leadership and authority. He will rule over our lives. See, when we embrace the coming of Jesus, we embrace a new government over our lives. The old king and the old wicked government that's in power in your life, that's you and that's me. He wants off the throne and he wants on the throne of our lives. He's the king. The government, the authority will be on his shoulders. And look at this king. Wonderful counselor he is. Anytime you have a question, he is your guide. And he is a wonderful counselor, a counselor that would never leave you astray and never give you bad advice. He is a mighty God. He strengthens us to fulfill our calling and to endure the hardships and struggles that enter our life. He's everlasting Father. What that means is he will never not be your father. He will never not have compassion for you. He will always and forever be a loving father whose compassion you can never exhaust. He's Prince of Peace. His authority can declare peace in your life, peace with him through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. So Ahaz, you won't take a sign that I've got it all under control. You won't take a sign that you can trust me, but I'm going to give a sign one day. And there is a baby that's going to be born that can deal with all of your arrogance and all of your control and all of your sin, can fix all of your struggles and all the agony that comes with all of that, so that your bad choices do not get the last word. And when he comes, he is going to be Lord of all. And that's Christmas. And it is so much bigger, right, than what we ever think about, what we ever give it credit for. And I want you to think about it for a second, okay? 700 years or so before that baby was born, your omnipotent Heavenly Father, looking down on a man that all he wanted was control and he was arrogant, he looked down and said, Ahaz, you might not want to trust me right now, but I want you to know there's coming a day and there is a sign that is on its way. And all of the arrogance and all of the control and all the things that my people will do to mess things up are going to be taken care of, because there's a baby coming. And in him, they're going to find salvation and forgiveness and joy and an everlasting Father they can trust. Amen? Amen. Amen. Your Heavenly Father, all that time before, in his wisdom, had that plan in place because of our arrogance and because of our desire to control things and do things our way. And he sent his son for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much today for your word. Lord, thank you for the way it just speaks to our hearts and opens our eyes, Lord. And I do pray this morning that you would help us to see Christmas in a different way. Or that it would be framed up not in the way the world looks at it, but we would frame it up in the incredible message that it really is, in what you have done for us in Christ. And Father, I pray today that during our invitation time, that Lord, you would speak to us, and Lord, help us today to respond to you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we believe every time that your word goes out, that you are working in our hearts, that you're working in our lives. And so, Lord, today, help us to respond to that, just to be obedient to what you say. I want to ask you, if you would, for just a second, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You remember I said at the beginning of the message that Ahaz represents every one of us. Maybe in your own life you've seen your arrogance or your desire to control things, going down your own path, living by your own script. Maybe you've seen that bring about suffering and difficulty in your life. And today, what you would like to do is reach out and find not just a Savior, but a Lord. And somebody that loves you, that you can follow, live life by his script. Maybe somebody would say today, I'm tired of doing it myself. And I just need Jesus. I just need a Lord. I want to give him my heart. I want to give him my life today. And if that's you, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to be down here. And Connor will be down here with me. And you just come and tell us that. Say, I'm ready to start fresh and new with God. I don't want to do it my way anymore. And I think probably there's a lot of us today that would say, there's something going on in my life. Struggle, difficulty. Something's wrong in my marriage. Something's wrong in a relationship. Something's wrong financially, whatever it is. And maybe you would say, you know what, I've been trying to handle that myself. I've been trying to do that with my own wisdom, my own thoughts, my own decisions. And today what I need to do is I just need to give that to God. I need to pray about that. I need to ask him what he wants me to do. And I just want to give that to the Lord today. So maybe in a few minutes you just want to come down here and just pray and give that thing to God. And on early service we had some folks just come and give some burdens over to God and just say, God, you tell me what I need to do. So whatever it is today, just be obedient to the Lord. Connor and I will be down front if you need to make a public decision. So just encourage you to be obedient to the Lord. So just stand with me and let's sing this beautiful song. It's our invitation time.
Thanks for listening. If you are ready to take your next step with the Lord, we would love to connect with you in person or even on social media. We're Gateway Tipton on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.